are you, pal?
Not bad, Rob. Really nice to be here, and I appreciate all the nice things you said.
Well, I'm telling you, man, the book, and I'm not a reader. I'm just not. But this one I took apart in 3 days. I could not put it down for so many reasons, Bruce. We have lots of authors on, and I'm not even going to lie to them. There's a lot of these books you don't read, but this one I could not put down because it means so much to me. It's the era that I grew up in. It was my introduction to Ed Whalen, my introduction to professional wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever the variations are. So I'm fascinated by it. Why write the book, Bruce? Where did it come from?
I think it was a combination of things, one of which was there had been a lot of books written about the Harts and by some of the Harts, and I think some of them were written for the wrong reasons. Some of them were written just to grind axes or spite other people, and some were written maybe to capitalize or exploit the prevailing situations, like my brother Owen's death, and some of that which people were fascinated somewhat morbidly by, but there was a lot of gaps and things that were either skewed or just omitted, or people writing that they didn't know anything about. So that was some of my motivation. I wanted to really sort of set the record straight, but also do justice to a lot of the memories, like you were talking about, and also put things into some perspective. I still have a lot of passion for the wrestling business, and I wasn't all that thrilled, and still am not that thrilled with what's happened to it. It's become somewhat bastardized, and it's gotten really kind of off track in my estimation. So I wanted to kind of address some of those things, and address some of the other. There were some pretty hot button issues, unfortunately, and I wrote in the book that I sort of felt at times that I was like in the eye of this so-called hurricane, and there's so many things that seem to touch the Harts and me specifically, including Owen's death and Pillman's and Davey Boy's and Benoit and my brother Brett's spat with Vince down in Montreal, and quite a few others. It was almost remarkable how many of those seem to encompass the Hart family. So those were sort of reasons, among others, that I wanted to write this and kind of put things into some kind of perspective.
I wrote down some notes, and I was writing about the themes in this book because, and this is just my interpretation of it, Bruce, but I came away with, the history of wrestling. The fact that you go all the way back and reference Farmer Burns and your father's involvement, the meeting of Dory Funk Sr. and the impact that had on you, and even the references you make to modern wrestlers. I talk about the West, or to me, one of the things you talked about, one of the notes I made was Western Canada and the theme there, about your family, about the innovation. If you don't mind, I'd follow it this way. I think your family is probably the one thing that disappointed me in the end, I guess, Bruce, is that it's a tragic story on many, many levels. Obviously, it goes without saying the passing of your brothers, including Owen. But the fact that, there seems to this day, and please tell me if I'm misreading this, but it's still a fractured family. Is that fair?
I would say, I would like to see it healed. At times I've thought maybe that's happened or was going that direction, but it still seems to be some unfortunate friction or discord, and that's sure. That's too damn bad. There's been a lot of things, and sometimes you gain strength through adversity, and sometimes it goes the other way. I'm still hopeful that maybe that fracture might be healed, but I think you perceived it correctly, though, when you said it's not what it should be.
What's your relationship with your brother, Keith?
I'm actually not on bad terms with Keith anymore. He's actually a pretty good person. I think my big issues, if you'd call them an issue, were the things I didn't see eye to eye with him on, were methodology or just his approach right. to wrestling and mine were different, you know, and in some ways I learned a lot from that period, though, in the 70s when he was booking and I was working but kind of underneath. And he's a good guy, Keith. He just, I never thought he had that good of a grasp of putting asses in seats or whatever you might call it.
Right. What about Brett? Because there is a particularly towards the end of the book, a great deal of time talking about Brett, the incident in Montreal, you know, the fallout of the death of Owen. I'm curious how you would describe your relationship with Brett these days.
It's been strained at times, you know, for sure. I was trying to put things objectively into perspective, especially when I was discussing Montreal and some of that. And Brett's been I've never taken anything away from his working ability. He's been a damn good worker, you know, and has been a credit to Stampede Wrestling and our family in that perspective. My biggest issue with Brett may be that he was pretty much for himself. You know, his egocentricity sometimes took precedence over everything else, you know, and I use the analogy, the Vince Lombardi quote, you know, there's no I in the word team, and wrestling's actually a team endeavor, you know, you're all trying to work together and guys are trying to get each other over and all of that, contrary to whatever it comes across as. And there's a lot of sacrificing and guys are doing jobs and going out of their way to make the other guy look good and that kind of thing. And sometimes I think Brett lost sight of that, and to the point where you know, he did things that kind of, you know, were hard on a lot of other people, you know, in WWE. And then, you know, he seemed to take that unfortunate thing with Montreal, and that became kind of like something that he was carrying around with him. I think he even wrote that in his own book. He said he was carrying all this emotional baggage, like a heavy bag of rocks or something like that. And
right.
He didn't mention that sometimes he was beating a lot of the other people in the family over with that damn bag of rocks, you know, and it was stressful, you know, especially for my parents, you know. That was a very difficult, you know, tough period after Owen died. And it was obviously tough enough to deal just with that, but all of a sudden we're in this big acrimonious lawsuit and there's all these other things, and nobody really had an opportunity to grieve, which is which was pretty damn hard. And it was pretty tough on the whole family after that, you know. It was kind of like one thing after another, you know, not rather than just dealing with the unfortunate tragedy, we had to incur all this other turmoil that was pretty damn hard on everyone, and especially my parents, both of whom passed away not that long after that. So it was a tough stretch. But I was trying to put it into perspective without really, you know, taking shots at anyone or, you know, putting anyone down, but still put it into some kind of perspective without pussyfooting or sugarcoating things either.
Bruce Hart's our guest. The book is Straight from the Heart. He's joining us here for the full hour on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 960. Have you heard from your brothers, any of your family, about this book? Has anybody responded to it or talked to you about it?
Yeah, I've heard from quite a few of them, and not Keith or Brett, like you mentioned, but it's been generally a very favorable response. And you know, I think they appreciated the objectivity and the candor, you know. So,
as I read this book, the one thing that, and where maybe I connected a little bit with it, because I think to a certain extent we've all gone through this, you seem as if you were the guy that at times kind of kept things moving forward or were picking up the pieces. And, you know, we'll get into the wrestling component a little later on, but you do this excellent illustration of what a booker does. And yet that seemed to be the one that constantly got taken away from you and then given back to you when somebody messed it up.
Yeah, it was pretty kind of strange from a number of perspectives. First off, you know, my dad was really old school, so he was kind of really pronounced in this. He'd grown up in this hardscrabble 1920s, 30s, you know, kind of wrestling environment. So he and I weren't exactly on the same page as far as methodology. At the same time, the stuff that I was orchestrating, and it was instrumental in turning around the fortunes of Stampede Wrestling. You know, the business really took off with these guys like Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy and David Schultz and Honky Tonk and later on Muck and Singh and Pillman and Benoit and all like that. And some of those smaller guys, the Flyers and the Japanese guys and the Mexicans and all those guys that I was kind of advocating, they didn't really quite meet Stu's kind of idea of classical wrestlers. Probably a good analogy might be, say, George Halas and the Chicago Bears, you know, and he would have had that kind of old Smash Mouth type mindset. And
sure.
And when things changed in the 80s and 90s and there was a lot more action and more spectacular and more pizzazz, it kind of rankled him a bit, but at the same time that we were doing some phenomenal business. And the best thing for me was how many of those guys went from here to superstardom elsewhere. So that was a good indication to me, proof is in the pudding or whatever, that we were on the right track. But it was sometimes strained. But the other part of the equation was back in those days, nobody ever had any idea of people being bookers or the pre-expose days or whatever. So,
right.
I was never ever perceived as such, or I was never really given any credit. The perception was that Stu just out of the blue had taken this about face and become really kind of new age or whatever in his approach to wrestling. So I was more than happy to see him get all the credit. I was mostly pleased that we were doing good business and things were operating pretty good. But it was frustrating later on, you know, because I was able to introduce a lot of elements or concepts to the wrestling business that were later on borrowed by the WWE or elsewhere. And I found it kind of laughable or in some of the bios or whatever, you know, I was either being knocked or sneered at. Nobody even seemed to have any idea that I had kind of not only brought all these guys in, but I had, started things like the triple threat matches and the rock music entrances and stuff like that, which were all, you know, things that WWE seemed to take bows for later that were just kind of borrowed from us.
Bruce, before we take the break, I guess the personal question I would ask you, having read the book, either you're not prepared to go down that path or you pulled short a lot, and I don't know which it is, so I'll ask you, do you have regrets, concerns, jealousies, or anything like that? Because you never did talk in the book about, you know, Brett and Owen went on as a wrestler, you know, you stayed in the territory. But is there any of that feeling for you?
There actually isn't, you know. I got a lot of intrinsic satisfaction out of seeing not only Brett and Owen, but Dynamite and Pillman and Benoit and Mike Shaw and Honky Tonk and Bad News and Jushin Liger and a bunch of these other guys. You know, if you've ever done any coaching, you know, say in junior hockey, and you see some of the players make it to the NHL and become stars, you know, I think you get some intrinsic satisfaction. So by that token, I was proud of those guys. And aside from, you know, some of the issues I've had with Brett, I got a great deal of satisfaction out of his success. You know, I was and I was helping him a lot, and I used to give him ideas all the time and share perspectives and all of that, you know, and that's really one of the things that's lost in the business these days too, is not that much sharing of ideas amongst the boys. It's kind of just put out there by these idiots that have never been in the ring. I saw a few of them down in WrestleMania last year, and that's one of the problems. So many of those guys have never been in the ring, and they don't really understand even what the hell wrestling is, and they're the guys pulling the strings damn near literally, because they treat the wrestlers like puppets, not athletes or performers.
You're at peace with your role then, because you did, and I don't want to give away too much of the book, because I think people need to read it, but you went down that path. You used the analogy of a coach, Bruce. You almost, on a couple of occasions, got that call to the next level, out of junior hockey into the pros. You're at peace with it?
I can't say I'm at peace. As I said, I was proud of the, I didn't resent any of those guys succeeding.
Right.
I'm not pleased with some of that. You know, I know damn well that I could have and should have, you know, if I'd been given the opportunity, I'm pretty damn confident I could have been quite successful, you know, added a lot of, in a booking or a wrestling sense with WWF. But that was one of the recurring themes in the book, is all these kind of close but no cigar charades, you know.